say the whole message. I'm going to preach the whole message that God gives us. We're not going to preach the whole outline that God has already given us. And we preached this morning on the son that left and what he left. Amen. And man, there's so much at the Father's house for us to enjoy. And God's created all things richly for us to enjoy. He's given us all things richly for us to enjoy. He created things for His glory, but for our use. Amen. And He's in control of all of this. I was reminded, and the world ought to have been reminded this last week or 2 weeks ago when, I don't know if you've seen the news, they've kind of kept it quiet because they didn't want it to get out because it's the first official government statement of a country or a province, however you want to call it. They said that they were playing God. And you say, what do you mean? Well, they're seeding the storms to make it rain. They're seeding clouds. It is a particular thing. And they seeded the clouds in Dubai. And it flooded. Okay? And you say, why did it flood? Because they was trying to play God and they can't. Amen? And but God's in control. And He's created all things for us to richly to enjoy. And there's nothing like, and we're talking about the presence of God and being in the house of God. And I'm not talking necessarily about being in the church. I'm just talking about being in the constant presence of God. And in the constant communication with God. And being in fellowship with God. We've seen the first son this morning. He chose to leave the fellowship of the Father. He chose to leave the safety of the Father. He chose to leave the foundations that the Father had laid to go out and make his own way. He demanded his inheritance, and he left, and he wasted his substance on righteous living. And then the Bible goes on to tell us how that he remembered what was back at the Father's house. He remembered there that there was a loving father, and he remembered that there was a loaded father. Miss Fanny walked out this morning, and she added me two more points, and she said there was a lonely father, amen, and a longing father. And the father, he was looking for the son, and man, he was longing for him to come back into his presence. But then we're going to look at a son that stayed at home. And we're going to see what the Word of God has to say. And look in verse number 25, the Bible says of Luke chapter number 15, "Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Just seen something else. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Father, thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, that you give us to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would take us and use us, Father, tonight for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that my speaking and my preaching would not be the enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Lord, I have nothing, God, to offer these people, God, but you have everything. Lord, you know the need and the desire of each heart. God, you know the hidden secrets, God, of each heart. Lord, we're naked and open, Lord, before you with whom we have to do. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God tonight would speak to our heart. Help us, Lord, to see, Lord, what we have back home. But Lord, help us, Lord, to see, Lord, how that we so often in our lives we sit empty, Lord, in the Father's house. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you, God, for helping us, Lord. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. This young man, he might have not been in a far country. but he was at home afar off. The Bible said there that the first young man, that he went into a far country and wasted his substance on righteous living. This young man stayed at home, yet he was far off. Understand, the benefits of the Father's house is where there's grace to be found. We looked at that this morning, and I'm not going to go back and preach those things, but there's grace to be found at the Father's house. He's loaded with benefits. We find their love. We find their compassion. We find forgiveness. We find cleansing. We find food for when we're hungry. We find restoration. We find reconciliation. We find all of those things at the Father's house. And I want to say this to you tonight. If you're the young man that was, or the son that stayed at home, he was angered at the father because of what he had done for the other son when he had came back. But understand this, if you never leave, you don't need a reception. You don't restore something that's not decayed. No, you listen to me? Brother Bobby has his Mustang that he's restored, and I've got a 72 Chevrolet in the barn there that needs restoring, and it's mine has decayed. His has been restored, but the reason that they need restoring is because they've decayed, and if you're not decayed, then you don't need restoring. But here, the young son, the other son, was living in the father's house with all the benefits of the father's house, with all the loaded blessings, with everything that was at the father's disposal was already his, but yet he could not see past this younger brother coming back home. As we see this morning, or tonight, I want you to understand this, that you can't be full at home when these certain things are found in your life. When you're living in a house of empty, or plenty, but you find yourself empty. Notice this. Notice the first thing I want you to see tonight is you can't be full at home when you're not burdened by those that have walked away. When you're not burdened by those that are lost and astray, when you have lost the burden of lost men, women, boys and girls dying and going to hell, you can't be full at the Father's house. When you've lost the burden of those that once sat with you on the pews and those that won't walk, that once walked with you on the paths of Christianity that are no longer walking with you anymore, and you have no burden for them and we have no burden for them, understand you'll never be full at home. Beloved, when you don't have a burden about those that have gone wayward in their life. You understand, sinners are the heart of God. The Bible said that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Understand, when you and I don't have a burden about those that are wayward, we'll never be full in the Father's house. We'll always be empty. He didn't care that he left, and he didn't care that he returned. Look in verse number, let's see, let me find this. And he said unto him, look here in verse number 25. And when the father went out, he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed, the messenger did. The brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now notice in verse number 30, the Bible says there that this young man said, but as soon as this thy son was come, he didn't even recognize him as a brother.
He said, I don't want to have nothing to do with him. He's hurt you. He's hurt the church. He's lived a wayward life. He's lived a life of, notice what he said. He said, he's been living with harlots. He's devoured thy living. And understand, he was not happy at all that the wayward son had come home. And when you and I have lost the burden of one that is going astray, and when you and I have lost the joy of one that's come home, as we go back and we look at the first part of this chapter, and when he said, he spake a parable about the one that found that had 100 sheep, and he says, when he find it, he rejoiceth it, and he lays it on his shoulder, and he comes and he calls together his friends in verse 6 and his neighbors, and he says unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. When you and I cannot rejoice about those that God has restored and rejoice about those that God has saved, understand, you and I can never be full at the house of God. We'll always be empty. When you and I are not burdened about the wayward, we'll always be empty in the house of full. This next one, I want you to notice this, and I'm probably going to preach this point. I don't know if I'll go any further after this. This is what God's worked in my heart this evening. Verse number 28. The Bible says, and he was angry, and he would not go in. Understand, the young son had come home. The father had made a feast to celebrate the coming home of the wayward child. Brother Bobby told me this morning, he said, I remember, he said, as I came back from Vietnam, and he said, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, when I walked in the door, and he said, my daddy, he said, wrapped his arms around me and just squeezed me so tight. He said, and just never let me go. See, this father was happy that his son was come home. But the brother was angry. The Bible said that he would not even go into the party. What would make someone so angry that they could not even rejoice about a wayward Christian or a lost person finding their way home? I think I have the answer. When you're bitter at your brother, you'll always be empty in a house of plenty. I would be bitter. I thought of Stephanie and Jonah being here tonight, now they've not even reached the honeymoon phase. Man, they're still this deep, madly passion between them. We'll never be bitter one at another. We'll never be angry. How could I be angry at the one that I love so much? Just hold on. It's coming. It'll either be the toothpaste lid is not rolled up right, or the toilet paper is not placed on the roll the right way up. Or it's coming. Or shoes left. It's coming. Bitterness. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 12, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Look at verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You need to understand that notice the first part of this. He says, looking diligently. This is your responsibility. You. Not your brothers. Not your sisters. He's writing there and he says, you need to look diligently. That means that you're searching. You need to be aware. You need to be sober-minded. You need to be looking for this, because he says you need to be paying attention, because you need to. This is going to happen. Notice what it said. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Suffering because you've been hurt or offended by someone, but instead of bearing the pain of the offense, you carry the debt of the offender, wanting for them to recognize that they're indebted to you for the pain they caused, and they pay restitution, whether it be I'm sorry, some gifts offered, or something else, instead of you just saying, I forgive you. Well, I want an I'm sorry. Too bad. It may not happen. Notice here the reason that bitterness, and I believe the Apostle Paul was writing of this in the book of Hebrews. I believe here he was the author of this. Notice what he said. He says, you need to look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Remember there in the book of Galatians, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if Christ has come by the law, then our faith is vain. Or he says, yeah, our faith is vain. We know that by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And go back there, keep there in Hebrews 12, go back to Luke chapter number 15, and let's look, I want you to show you something. And you, if you're taking notes, you could put this there, but I don't think I'm going to, Lord allow me to preach on it tonight. But when your busyness takes over, you'll be empty at the house of full. Look in verse number 29. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He said, Father, he says, I've served you all of these years. I deserve more than what you've given him. He said, you killed him for him, a fatted calf. He said, you had not even given me a goat. Look there. He said, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son which hath come home hath devoured thy liver with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He says, Father, you're doing more for him than you are for me. We have that attitude. But what happens is we fail of the grace of God when we come to the part of life, or we come to the thinking in our hearts and in our minds that God owes us something more than what He's already given us. Yes. Amen. Or that we didn't deserve to be treated that way. Or we didn't deserve this. Or we deserve this. We forget that it's by grace that God guided us into this thing, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Son had no right to boast of His good works to the Father. And when He did, He fell of the grace of God. He went to putting His accolades and His service, thinking that he deserved more than what he was getting. And when we fail of the grace of God,
when we get to that point, and that's not talking about falling from salvation, we know that's not going to happen. You can't be unborn. You can't be unsealed. That's not falling from grace. Beloved, what that's saying, he says, you're failing of the grace of God. He says, you're working, you're adding works into this thing. And that's what he said. He said, I've served you all these years. And he said, you've never even given me a goat.
Am I your son? You hear what he said?
That's your son. He didn't say my brother. So remember, the servant came and said, thy brother's come home. The father says, thy brother's come home. But the bitterness, the son is so bitter at the father and at the other brother, he does not even recognize him as a brother. He says, thy son.
We ever used those terms before in our life? When our kids act up, I say, them's Tina's kids. Them's Tina's kids. They're not mine. My kids act well. Her kids misbehave. My kids sing. Hers get in trouble. My kids, every once in a while, does house chores. Hers complain. It's thy son and thy brother. But understand, he fell of the grace of God, and that's caused him to have bitterness in his soul. But notice here, because understand, when we realize that God has given us everything, and God, we're here because of the grace of God, and Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and we realize that God owes us nothing, we don't deserve anything, we're just blessed because God loves us. And we think that we are owed something better. And we get the self-righteous attitude, and I don't have time to go into that part of it, but we look at other people and say, I deserve more than they deserve. They should not have treated me that way. And we get bitterness. Lest any root of bitterness. Any root. As I thought about a root of bitterness, I thought about kudzu. Kudzu, from my understanding, was brought over here from Japan by an extension agent in the state of Georgia to keep the red clay banks from washing away. And now it's everywhere. It's not all over the U.S., but it's everywhere here. They say that it grows a foot a day. It's what they say on average. It grows in the right temperature and the right soil. I remember grading. I worked for my uncle and them when I was younger, and we were doing some grading, and we found roots down off of it 8 foot deep. And you could take one root of it, and you can throw it in the ground, and it'll start coming up. And you may have a spot this big this year. But it just keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing. And the Apostle Paul said, lest any root of bitterness spring up. See, when it springs up, it springs out. And what happens, notice what he said as we go by. It says, and thereby many be defiled. Have you ever been around a bitter person? They have nothing good to say. They're full of envy. They're full of strife. All they have to say is bad. They're bitter on everybody. Nobody can do nothing right. They feel like everybody in the world owes them something. I'll be honest with you, that's what's wrong with part of the young people in society today, is they're bitter at everybody. This mindset that believes that everybody owes them something. Is they're bitter and mad at everybody. But bitterness springs up and it defiles many because it springs out. And this brother was sitting in the house of the Father, where all blessings flow. He had everything at his disposal because the Father said, "Son, all that I have is yours." And he was angry because he was offended. Now let's break it down for just a little bit. Maybe he was angry because he hurt his father. You ever thought about that? We all have been dealt with families, and some may have family members that do nothing but hurt their parents. And you get bitter at them. You get mad at them. We've all been hurt. I don't know the conversation that happened. Maybe the older brother, maybe heard his father weeping over his younger brother every night. Maybe he seen dad every day looking out across the way looking for the young son to come home. Maybe he heard that, and maybe that's what caused bitterness, because he seen the hurt that the young son caused the father. Or maybe there was a disagreement about part of the inheritance. Or maybe there'd been disagreement about anything at home, and he left bitter. See, bitterness gets all of us. All bitterness, all it takes, the Bible talks about, and Lord allows, we'll go there in just a minute. When bitterness sets in, Satan gets an advantage of us. But he was bitter and mad. He was angry. He could have been, understand the thing about bitterness is, bitterness could have, the way it works and the way it grows is it could have happened 20 years ago. Are you hearing me? 30 years ago. And you never have forgiven that person. He said, looking diligently. He says, you need to be looking and searching in your heart, and you need to make sure that there's no root of bitterness in there. Because if you have bitterness, you can sit in the house of full and be empty. Well, you don't know what they done to me. No, I don't. Well, you don't know how bad it hurt me. Been there. Well, they wrongly accused me and they said things about me. I've been there. Things that wasn't true. I mean, I'll never forget this. I was coming down the road one day. Tina and I was, when we was riding down 115, I remember the moment just as vivid and clear. And I got a phone call from somebody that I loved and respected. And I was accused of doing wrong, going behind their back. And it was a lie. A lie was told on me, but instead of them calling and asking me, the first thing they done, they called and accused me and called me out on it and said I was wrong. And then when Brother Bobby, I said I didn't do it, they didn't believe me. I'm known by somebody I loved and respected. Stabbed in the back. And you don't think bitterness don't set in? But let me say this. Bitterness sets in on even simpler things. You You got bitterness towards your siblings? This was a sibling. The state not settled out the way that you thought it should have been? Somebody got more than you did? What about somebody you went to church with? I heard a preacher the other day, he said, I'm about sick and tired of hearing people saying I'm not going back to church because I got hurt at church. Mm-hmm. I'm about the same way. Right. Let me ask you, you been to the doctor lately? Did he give you good news or bad news? Did he ever give you bad news that hurt you?
Yep.
Let me ask you this, you been to the hospital? You ever been hurt in the hospital? Are you still going? You ever been hurt at work?
Oh, yes.
Are you still going? The church ain't the one that hurt you. People's the one that hurt you. But we get so bitter at such simple things in our life. Understand this. The devil can get us crossways on one word. And if we don't resolve it, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, they don't deserve it. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Understand what happens is Satan gets in there. He lets that little bit of root of bitterness and there get planted. And then he goes by and all of a sudden, here's what he does. He comes by and he waters it a little bit and he throws a little more fertilizer on it and he makes the growing temperature rise and he throws a little more fertilizer on it. And then what he does is he causes that other person or that some conflict. Understand we're wrestling with the prince of the power of the air. I'm the children that now work than the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And understand this, the devil can manipulate people, even good people. You say you believe that? I do. Peter said, Lord, it's not so. Jesus turned and looked at him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Called Peter Satan. He said, get thee behind me. But the devil will come by, cause one of us to say something else in innocency. But because you have that root of bitterness in there, it grows. It grows. And then the next thing you know, what happens in marriages is they've ended up in divorce court. Why? Because somewhere along the way, a root of bitterness got started. You know why people leave the house of God? Because somewhere along the way, a root of bitterness got started. And they got angry at the people, and they got angry at church, and they got angry at God, and they turned and walked away. And this young man could not be happy when his brother came back because he was full of bitterness in his heart. He was angry. And understand, let's go to the book. And you say, well, preacher, how do I deal with bitterness? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let me ask you this. Litmus test of bitterness. Somebody's name is mentioned. How does it make you feel? If a certain person's name is mentioned, how does it make you feel? And I don't know who that name is, but the Holy Ghost does. And He's bringing that name to your heart and your mind right now. When that person's name's mentioned, you know what the problem is? You've not forgiven them. Because you're harboring bitterness. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Understand, newlyweds to be, you're going to have quarrels. If you've not had any, God bless you, you're going to. Went to a marriage conference thing the other night, and there's two words that y'all two need to memorize and say them repeatedly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because you're not going to act the way that she wants you to, and you're not going to act the way that he wants you to at times. And there's going to be times that y'all have disagreements and you're going to quarrel. But you know what? And anybody that tells you that you're not going to quarrel, just go ahead and call them a liar, because that's who they are. But the best thing you can do is forgive them. Forgive them. Endeavor to keep in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Forgiving one another. Notice here in 2 Corinthians. Yeah, chapter number 9. I'll be done. Y'all hungry. They want opening presents. I'm sorry. Let's see. I was wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. That's where I missed it. To whom we forgive anything, whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the what? Person of Christ. That's how we forgive one another, is in Christ. My flesh don't want to forgive. My flesh wants to hold a grudge. Well, your flesh is wicked. Mine is too. Okay? My flesh wants to stir the pot. My flesh wants to retaliate. My flesh wants to say things. My flesh wants to poke the bear. And your flesh wants to poke the bear. But then we don't like what the bear does when we poke the bear. He says, I forgive him in Christ. Notice why. Because notice what the next verse says. To whom lest, here's that possibility again. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You want to be empty in the house of full? You just go on and keep harboring that bitterness. Because Satan's going to use it against you as an advantage. And what happens is you become blind to the blessings that you got. You become critical of what God's doing in your life. You become critical of what God's doing in others' lives. You become self-righteous in your eyes. He says, I've served thee all these years. I've never transgressed your commandments. And you won't even give me a kid. And he come home and he's been living with harlots and you give him the fatted calf. Sounds to me like Satan's got a hold of somebody, don't he? Had he ever left the Father's house? Had he ever left the Father's care? Had he ever went to the far country and wasted his substance on righteous living? Had he ever wasted his inheritance? No. But he was empty, sitting in the Father's house. The young son was empty in the hog pen. But he was empty, sitting in the Father's house. There's Satan. There's the action, there's the adversary, and there's the advantage. The advantage is a condition favorable to success. You know what I've seen, though? I'm going to close with this. Now, as I said, I look at this Father as God. Okay? I believe that's what part of this parable is about. If you have your Bible still open, I want to show you something. Look in verse 28 if you still have your Bibles open. He was angry, and he would not go in. As I read this afternoon at my desk, these next words, the Spirit of God reminded me of how good a God I serve. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. That word entreat means to pray. It means to ask. The father looked at the table, and for many years there'd been an empty place on this side. But tonight, at the party, there was an empty place on this side. And the father got up and walked out of the house, left the party, left the people. He walked out there and he said, "Would you come in?" You know he cares tonight, don't you? You know that he cares about your bitterness. Just as he cares about the burdens and the brokenness of the one son, he cares about the bitterness and the barrenness of the other son. I'm glad God's no respecter of persons. I'm glad it's all because of grace and not merit. And I'm glad that when I find myself cross with others and cross with God, that God don't wipe me off. But when he walks in and he finds me not at the table, I'm glad he just don't chalk me up as a loss. But I'm glad he comes to where I am and says, "I want to be in fellowship with you. I love you. I care for you." Which son are you? Are you either one? I don't know your heart tonight, but God cares. I don't want to be and live my life in emptiness in the house of plenty. It amazes me in this day and age that we live in. We'll do anything and everything we can to fix that longing inside of us when there's only one thing that fills it, and that's the fellowship with the Father. One thing. I don't know your heart tonight.